Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you just don't know about that. You become comfortable with not knowing sometimes. But sometimes you don't know what God wants to say and how he wants to say it until it's time to say it. Now, we can do, let me tell you from a preacher standpoint, you can do a lot of studying and do all that good stuff, and you should study. But sometimes you don't know what he's going to say until it's time to say it. Jesus was serious about that when he said, as I hear, I judge. That's a real thing. And you know, I had my notes together, and I didn't understand. Well, I understood what the message was, but I didn't really know. You know, sometimes you're looking for a title or looking for some cool little thing to put on the top, and you don't know. And right, I'm standing up there, and it come right up. I heard it a couple of days ago, and it came right up. And so what I'm going to talk about tonight is from the gift to your gift. Shorty, you want to make it short and cool, from gift to gift. There's a movement that's happening from the gifts God has given us to the gift that's on the inside of us. But as with anything else, you have to understand how to get the best out of that, how to yield the most juice out of the fruit. You get it? Like sometimes you can squeeze a fruit, you know what I'm saying? You get a little something out of it. But when you use something that's a little better, that's meant to squeeze, you get more juice. You understand what I'm saying? Utilizing the gift as much as you have, as you can. Making the most of what you have. I was reading the scripture right before I was coming out. I was reading the scripture, and it was talking about the soil sowed the word. I don't have time to get it, but the soil sowed the word. It talks about all the different types of ground that it falls in. But then he said something. He said, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I said, well, there's a difference. Any fold is good, praise the Lord. Amen. Anything is better than zero, praise the Lord. Right? But I'm still looking for the 100. Like, I'm looking. If I can bypass 30 and 60, I'm trying to figure out, all right, $30, $60, $100. Which one you want? All right, y'all get what I'm saying, all right? So we're always looking for more. Everybody say more. More. So we're always looking for more. And so I started looking at it, and I realized that sometimes the way that we approach and the way that we, the perspective that we have towards the gifting that God gives us determines our fold in our lives. See, sometimes we're getting 30-fold production. Sometimes we're getting 60-fold production. And every now and then we get 100. So a couple words I want you to write down. Write down the word translate. Translate, and then you can write down translation. And then I want you to write down the word perception. Now, when a translator, anytime, our common phrase for translator, you know, we get deep, we start talking about translation in the Bible because we talk about Enoch was translated, going to heaven, and different things. But in our common everyday translation, if you speak one language and somebody else doesn't speak that language, then you need somebody in between to be a translator. And if translated properly, everybody understands and the message goes across. All right? If translated properly, whatever the message is that comes out, it goes across. So the person, even though they don't speak the same language, even though they may not be from the same country, because of the translation, everybody understands the message. You get it? And so there's a scripture, and I'll read it, and there's a couple of scriptures that I was reading, and, you know, Apostle Paul wrote a lot of these scriptures to different churches in Colossians and Ephesians. But go to Colossians chapter 1 real quick, and I want to read through this kind of quick so I can kind of get to what I want to say, because Colossians chapter 1. What we are here for, and what we come here week by week and two times a week, what we come here for is ultimately for God's will to be done everywhere. All right, I'm going to say that again. For God's will to be done everywhere. Amen. Not just for God's will to be done in church service, but for God's will to be done on your job tomorrow. Amen. Pretty much wherever you go, for God's will to be done wherever you are. That's the goal. That's what God wants. Now, I know that's not our thing all the time, and maybe that's not the result that we get all the time, but that's the goal. That's what God has intended. He intended for his will to be done everywhere, even where you are. And so I'm reading this, and it says, Colossians chapter 1, and I start at verse 9. It says, for this cause also we, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with all the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. How much pleasing?
All
pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Underline that, fruitful in every good work. If you got one of them Bibles on your phone, highlight it. There's a way you highlight it. Fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. You read it? Ready, read. Read it again. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. The next scriptures are talking about in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He's talking about Jesus. So right now, who has, go back to verse 13, I think it is. Go back to verse 14, 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and what? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, when we read that and we don't dig deep and we don't really understand what we're saying, or we don't get time to meditate and see what God is saying in there for us, we'll think that's talking about going to heaven. But it says has translated us. It says has delivered. That doesn't mean it's going to deliver, but you've been delivered already. Has delivered us from the power of darkness and has already translated us into the kingdom. We take that and we think he's talking about going to heaven, but you're not there now. Are you there? Are you in heaven right now? Anybody? If you're in heaven right now, we need to go and do a burial service right now. You're not in heaven. You're still here on earth, right? Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
So now he's saying something about I'm translated right now.
Right.
He's trying to tell me now I'm delivered from the power of darkness and I've already been translated into his kingdom. Now, if I ask, what is the kingdom of God? Some of us know the definition. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things and doing them right. So now, right now, we've been delivered from darkness and translated into God's way of doing things and doing them right. So right now, because of redemption, I have the ability to do things the way God wants them to be done.
Come on.
On this side. In my life.
Yes,
all right. Flip over to Ephesians. And we're gonna do a little bit of reading. Everybody say translation. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll read this. And I know we know these Ephesian prayers in 1 and chapter 3. And this does some good reading. But it's something to pray every day, I think. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It sounds just like that verse in Colossians, don't it? It kind of starts off the same way we was reading the other one. I'm making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. Now remember, we got translated out of darkness. You remember those scriptures, translated out of darkness, right? That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Look at me real quick. Don't look at the scripture. Be enlightened. You're no longer in the dark, but you're enlightened. Everything is lit up to where you can see it. When the lights come on, we see clear. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Not wonder. Not figure it out, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory in the inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And had put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's flip over to chapter 3. We're going to do a little reading. Chapter 3, starting off at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20 is our favorite, right? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where?
In us.
The power that worketh where?
In us.
Everybody say in us.
I'm
going to say it again, in us.
In us.
Mm-hmm. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, you got to understand what he's saying. Unto him be all glory through the church. Who's the church? Not this building. Thank God for the church building. Praise God for it. But you're the church. Come on, say it. Say, I'm the church.
I'm the church.
So whenever he's talking about the church, he's talking about you. Wherever you are, that's where the church is. So now glory to God through the church.
Amen.
Come on, say it. Glory to God through the church. That means glory to God through you. That means God is going to get glory. All right, listen to me. Now I have no time. See, whenever we meet like this, this is to spark. We're meditating together. And this is to spark your study time. So that means after this, you should go back and look over this again to see what else God is saying to you. Many times we don't squeeze what we get enough, and so we don't yield enough. Listen to me. Many times we don't go back and revisit because we think we heard it when we sat here. It's a little side journey. But we sit here and I understand it right now, so you think you got it, but you don't got it. You got to squeeze it. You got to go back after this and look at it again tonight before you go to bed. And you got to look at it in your study time tomorrow to see what God is always trying to say something, to see, God, what are you trying to say to me now? But it's talking about glory to God through the church. So I wrote down translation and I wrote down perception, because our perception has everything to do with it. Somebody made a statement one time that your perception is your world. However you perceive something is how the world is built to you. However you look at it, however you see it, that's what you're going to get from it. That's why death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's why your confession is important. Because sometimes you can be poor. I'll never forget when Apostle came and years ago when he came and started Money Coming. Well, years before that, because of our faith teaching, he always told us there's some things that you shouldn't say.
Right.
It's killing me. No, it's not killing you. You don't. Do you really want to die?
No.
So what's your perception? You see, it's changing how you approach that.
Yeah.
All right, I ain't never got no. Well, you ain't never got no money then. Because your perception. So it starts to change because your perception becomes your world. However you perceive a thing, whatever position you are faced towards that thing becomes your world. And sometimes, I'm going to talk to you real quick as a church. Sometimes you come to church with the wrong perception of what's going on in church. Now just go with me, because sometimes these things are not easy to swallow, but it's a true thing. Sometimes we come here and we don't get the gift. We don't get what the gift is trying to get to our gift. We don't fully receive what's coming out from our gift that's supposed to enhance our gift and open it up to the world. We miss it. Sometimes we can miss it from gift to gift, from gift to gift, from the gift. Even Ephesians 4, flip over, just one page. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll do a little bit more reading. Listen, Paul really dealt with the church. And every part plays in the church. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the law, beseech you that you walk worthy, what? Huh? Other vocation, what? Other vocation, what? What? No, not called, not vocation called. Read it. Wherewith who is called? You called. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Hold on, I'm going to say it again. You should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Not somebody else called. Not what you thought was the call. No, the one that you called to do.
Yes,
remember now we were talking about the hope of his calling in another scripture, right? At your eyes being lightened, you'll know what the hope of his calling is.
Yes,
right? We're going to put all that together. You got to put all that together at your house. I ain't got time to go back over there. But the walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond in peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of... Who's calling? Huh? Okay. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through and in. But unto every, y'all got to catch what he's saying. But unto every one of us. But unto every one of us. But unto every one of us. One is the individual, like you individual. To every individual. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave what? Gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it also that descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also which ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Talking about Jesus. Then verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Y'all see that? Verse 12, for the perfecting of who? Who's the saints? For the perfecting. Now, and remember this. Now, I said this before, but always I like to study words, and sometimes we use so many words, and we don't know what they mean, and so we use them all out of context, and we're saying a bunch of crazy stuff that we don't know what we're talking about. Ain't nobody perfect. That, you ever heard that before? I ain't perfect. Well, that's your fault. That's your fault if you ain't perfect. Don't tell me that ain't that you can't be perfect. Jesus is talking about, why would he talk about the perfecting of the saints if you can't be perfected? Remember this, perfection and flawlessness are two different things. Usually when you use the word perfect, you're thinking flawless. No, that's not. Perfection has everything to do with purpose. When you're talking about something being perfect, it's talking about purpose. A perfect teacher is somebody who has taught the message properly and fulfilled the purpose. Are you listening? So for the perfecting of you, meaning for your purpose, for the purpose that I got you here on this earth, for that purpose to be unfolded. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all, and I can read this over and over again, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we measure up and until we look like Christ looked in this world. Now understand something. There's a couple ways. It's your calling. Everybody say my calling.
My calling.
Come on, say it again. My calling.
My calling.
Now when we get to church, when you start talking about calling, the first thing we say, the phrase is called to preach. Soon as you hear the word calling, I've been raised in church. So as soon as you hear the word calling, you have the connotation that you have been called to pastor somebody church. Or you have been called to be Reverend such and such, or minister such and such. And so we get caught up. There's a couple ways you can miss what's going on here. I'll give you two. A couple ways is one of the ways is you can sit here, an apostle will come out and start delivering anointing to us and delivering powerful messages. And it's very easy to sit here under that strong level of anointing and think that you're called to ministry. I've seen it happen over and over again. I got to go do this. God called me to do this. And then it works out like it works out. You can miss it. You can sit here and think it doesn't apply to where you are on an everyday basis. And you start thinking that you're called to ministry. Listen to me and listen to me well. Right, if God didn't, see, a lot of people went but wasn't sent. If God don't call you and pave your way for this thing, you do not want to be in ministry. You don't want to do it. If God didn't call you to do it, you don't want to do it. If God didn't endow you with the know-how and the power to do that thing, this is not what you want. There's a couple of ways we can, as church people, that'll happen right there. That's one way. Or two, you can sit inside of a ministry like this and get so excited about the ministry that you don't realize you ain't accomplishing nothing. Listen to me. It's quiet in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so you can sit here and you get excited. You're excited. You're excited. You know, you're excited about everything going on and excited about what's going on. But you realize that what God is trying to funnel through you in your area of life is not being funneled because you're not catching the translation. See, apostle, y'all not called to be no apostles. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Most of y'all ain't called to be no pastor, teacher, evangelist, or nothing else. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
And God done called some people, but he ain't called all people, because he didn't say I called everybody to be all these things. But there's a vocation that you should walk worthy of. Now, where is it that you work? What is it that you do? Where is it that God had called you to be? What is going in that area? When you go to work tomorrow, that job that God gave you, what's going on there? Is it apostolic on the job? Is the apostolic taking place in that business that you started, that you say God called you to do? It's very easy. We can sit in the midst of this miracle. I say it a lot. And we can sit in the midst of this miracle. God called the apostle, and some of us have been for a long time. God called him, told him, I'm going to do it in Darrow. And then it's been miracles ever since. Amen. And God has been doing doing miraculous things in a place that there should be no miracles. Amen. And been using him in a way that shouldn't be used. As a black man in the deep south, it shouldn't be used that way. But God did it. I rehearsed that over and over in my mind, how God used him to plant all of this here. And it is an inspiration to us all. Amen. 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 Remember, now I said this before, and I said this now, I didn't even plan on going this, but remember that the word inspiration does not just make you want to do something, but the word inspiration means to breathe into. So if it is really an inspiration to you all, then it should breathe something into you. It should breathe that same motivation and that same functioning and that same apostolic anointing into you to function out in the world in that apostolic.
Thank you, Lord.
But sometimes we miss it, Damon. Sometimes we miss it and we get caught up with churchy things. And we get caught up being churchy and religious. And we get caught up and we miss that it's supposed to translate where you at, Brother Bezra. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing this week, it should translate right there where you are. There should be a translation. But it won't translate if you don't have the proper perception. If you're not faced the proper way, if you're not approaching the gift properly, then it won't translate. There are things that are happening in this ministry. I was talking to some young men about today. There are things that are happening in this ministry that are nothing but God and nothing but supernatural favor from God, and it's going to keep happening. But when we come here, all y'all not going to preach. Let me stand up here right quick. But you can get caught up. And think you're a reverend, but what kind of reverence is happening where you are every day? Before you be a reverend on a pulpit. And I'm not saying the end goal is preaching, because some of y'all never gonna preach. That's not your calling. That's not the place that God has called you to be. But there is a place that God has called you to be. There's a gifting that God has put on the inside of you. And so now the gift has to translate to the gift. The gifting that God has given some apostles. Well, thank God we got one, right? We got apostles and a pastor, teacher, all that, right? Thank God that God gave us that. The gift that he's dropped off to us is supposed to spark the gift within us. Now, you can get in trouble. Let me talk to you for a minute. You can get in trouble by missing the point. And now, look at your neighbor and say, stay in your lane. Look at your other neighbor and say, stay in your lane. Now, as long as we're staying in our lane, as long as we're driving in the lane that we're supposed to be in, then everybody's safe. Two things. Everybody's safe and everybody's making progress. How many of y'all drove on the interstate on the way? Some of y'all came from, he was on the interstate, right? Well, if you stay in your lane, if you get in the car, put your seatbelt on, and then just stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Stop looking at me in the passenger seat. Stay in your lane. If you stay in your lane, then everybody remains safe, and everybody makes progress, and everybody gets to where they're supposed to get to. If you stay in your lane, now if you don't stay in your lane, how many of y'all, well, everybody had to do it on the way, because there ain't no way to get to this church but go on a two-lane highway with cars going that way and cars going that way. Well, if you don't stay in your lane, there's a possible crash that could happen. God forbid. There's a possible ditch that could be driven into if you don't stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Understand this and listen to me well. There's a in your lane, that's what God gonna drop off your blessing.
Yeah. That's right.
Listen to me. Come on, now y'all stick with me. Listen to me. In your lane is where God is going to increase you. We're coming up, when we was going to school, and they told us, when you're coming up, when you first, and even before me, I know it's even stronger than when I was, you're getting out of school and you're getting out of high school, and they tell you, you need to be this, 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 and this to be successful. Get this kind of job because they make this kind of money. Get this kind of job because they make this kind of money. Come on, amen. I know y'all have been told the same thing. And some of y'all made some decisions based on what them people told y'all. What that system told us. You get this kind of job, boy, you get, these. So now there's an influx of people trying to do those things and all these other lanes not being filled. There's an influx. God dropping off the blessing in your lane. He's dropping off your blessing in your lane. But because you all up in my lane, I'm not moving. You come up in my lane, there's going to be bumper cars. But because you all up in my lane, because you like how my lane look. And so you see me succeeding in my lane, so now you think success is in my lane. No, success is not in my lane. Success is in what I'm doing, staying in my lane. So now, here we go. So now, your blessing is going to be in your lane. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. All right. Your blessing is in your lane. Your blessing is in your seat. If I'm dropping blessings in your seat, you better be in your seat. Get out of everybody else's seat and get in your seat. That's where your blessing is going to come down, in your seat. Everybody got a seat. And everybody got a lane. But I got to stay in my lane. All right? Now, Apostle is all up in his lane. His lane just wide. He ain't got no normal lane. It's just one of these lanes that's just like, boom. He just, boom, boom, all in the lane, right? He's staying in. So because he's in his lane, God has decided, and because he's been faithful in his lane, God says, all right, I'm going to put some people under you so you can lead them and show them how to function in their lane.
Come on.
There's a scripture that says, follow me just like I follow Christ. Paul said it. Follow me like I follow Christ. Another scripture we can put together with that is Hebrews 12 and 2 said, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now the leaders that God put in our midst are a form of Jesus to us.
Amen.
Strong statement. It's a strong statement. But you got to swallow it. It's a capacity of Jesus in the flesh for us to follow. And then you start looking like Jesus. See, Jesus' whole goal was for us to look like him.
That's right.
The works that I do shall... you do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. What he really wants to happen is for the world to see Jesus just like they saw him when he was here in the flesh. That's the goal. But we got to be taught how to be like that, because we don't really know how to be like that all the time. And so God sets somebody in front of us to show us how to walk after Christ. Huh? To show us how to walk after Christ. All right, but there is, I got to touch on all this. There is... we compartmentalize life. So I got my, what we do it as people. We do it, we do it with our personalities. We compartmentalize life. So we got our church, we got our church attitude. And then we got our home attitude. Amen. We got our church understanding, and we got our home. We got the way we talk to people at church and the way we talk to our family at home. Oh. So we compartmentalize. I know, amen. Go ahead and tell them you're sorry when you get to the house, all right? So we compartmentalize. So we separate. We compartmentalize our lives. So church is over here. That's for the spiritual stuff. It's for the spiritual stuff. We get spiritual at church. Or we get spiritual a little bit in our prayer time in the morning, but... that's the church stuff. All right, then we get to work and we're carnal. Our work is something different. And then we start talking about our money and it's something different. Or we start talking about our health and it's something different. And we compartmentalize. We start talking about our relationships and our friendships, and no longer we compartmentalize, but there is one lane with it all in that same lane. There's one functioning with it all. We cannot compartmentalize God and Jesus and all that into all these different places and look in all these different directions. No, it's in the same lane. So when I'm looking unto Jesus, I'm looking unto all of that. Yes. Listen to me. So now when I'm following my leader, like he follows Christ, in that following, in that leadership, in me being connected and following like I should, it speaks to every area of my life. If I'm following like I should, and if my perception is right, and if I'm really letting it translate to who God called me to be. If I'm looking right, I'm living right.
Right,
listen to me. If I'm looking right, then I'm living right. So now our leadership, God, he gave me gifts to everybody, but then he gave us some apostles and prophets and pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of, for you to realize what's the purpose. We can live and die. I never forget Brother Hagin said this years ago. He said most men live and die and never scratch what God has called them to do. They never scratch the next phase that God had called them to do. They live a whole, and they live, I'm not talking about like a short death. I'm talking about they live a whole life and don't even scratch what God has intended for them to do. And sometimes it can be because you're not receiving the gift to your gift. The gift is not reaching your gift because of your perspective. Because you didn't come to receive God, what are you telling me to do in me? We got all kind of vocations. If I start calling out vocations and telling you to yell out what you do, you can yell out all day long. We'll yell out all vocations. And I believe some of it God called you to do, some of it God didn't call you to do. You need to go revisit that. But then some of us are in that. We're in the midst of that thing that God called us to do. But now in that, the translation, the principles that we get, the things that are coming out and delivered to us in the spirit, we should take those in and let it birth out into what we do. Listen to what I'm saying. It should birth out into who we are in our different areas of life, because it starts talking a little further, and I don't have time to really go read it, but it starts talking a little further about every joint supplying. Yes, sir. And it talks about the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body, edifying. So they're talking about making increase of the body. There's an increase that has to happen in the body, but it works by the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part. Everybody say every part.
Every part.
Come on, say it again. Every part.
Every part.
So you've got a part to play. All right. Now your part. The basic principles of our parts are the same. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, huh? And his righteousness. What happened? All these things will be added, right? Seek him, acknowledge him in all your ways. He'll direct your path. The basic components are always seeking after God, following after Jesus, always doing that. The basic components are proper. The basic components of our lives are the same. The basic principles are the same, but sometimes they translate in a different language. Sometimes they translate wherever you are because of what you are doing. But if you don't understand it's supposed to translate, then you going to church or you going to work trying to talk like apostle talk at his lane. So you all up in work trying to lay hands on people. That's not the lane. You all over there, wherever you at, you're doing what you're doing. Real estate, what you're doing? What is it that you do? What is the job that you do? You over there and you done got deep and fell off in the spirit and missed a sale. I mean, that's funny, but that happens because people don't let it translate. It should translate from the gift to our gift. It should translate from what God has dropped off in our midst to lead us where we should, and then we can take that and deliver it to where we go. Are y'all understanding? The effectual working, let's read a little bit more. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. No more children. I'll say it again, no more children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. Huh? May grow up into him in all things. How many things?
All.
How many things?
All.
May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, I think that, I believe that Jesus said this. Jesus said, I am the way. Come on, finish it. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by Man, we took that scripture and we think that we're not going to heaven, but by Jesus, and that's the truth. So understand that without Jesus, you ain't going to make it. All right? But that's not all that he was saying. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'm that. I'm literally that. So if you want direction, if you want truth, and you want life, I'm the way. All right? But I think people missed him. Because, and walk worthy of the vocation you call, I think sometimes people read that, Sam, and they miss it because they get all in the air and deep about it, and they don't let it translate to your way, your truth, and your life, the way that you should be doing things in your life. Mm-hmm. See, Jesus was here to show us how to live life. He wasn't here to show us how to live a Christian life. Listen to me. He wasn't here to show us how to live a church life. You know, Jesus never said the word Christian. He didn't show us how to live a religious life. No, Jesus came here to show us how to live life, how God originally intended life to be lived. He was here to show us, not for you to be a reverend. Come on, y'all. Come on, I keep saying that. Not for you to be somebody that's just not, it's not for that. Not for you to be Dr. Whoever you think you want to be. No, not that. It's for you to live. What is it that you do on a daily basis? What is that gift that God has gifted you for? What is that thing that God is? Let me tell you something about a gift. When you got a gift and God has gifted you for something, it's something that you can't push it down. I'm not talking about the stuff that you done saw and now you wanted it. That ain't what I'm talking about. Or the stuff that they pumped in your head that you're supposed to do. No, I'm not talking about that. There's a gifting on the inside. There's a special gifting on the inside of every individual that it bubbles up. And sometimes we suppress it because we got so many things we got to do, or we get caught up with the cares of this world and the cares of life. But there's a gifting on the inside of there that God has put right there from the beginning, planted on the inside of you to make a benefit in this world.
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody got it. Come on, say it. Say everybody got it.
Everybody.
Come on, say it. Say everybody got it.
Everybody.
Come on, say it again. Everybody got it.
Everybody
got a gift. But in order for that thing to unfold, my perspective, my function when I come to church, I have to come I have to come not being overly religious, but I got to see that the principles that he's given me are supposed to hit me and translate. The principles that are being delivered are supposed to hit my spirit, hit my mind, and change me. So now when I go wherever I go tomorrow, that same anointing and the same success rate. Come on, success rate. Now I don't have time to go down the whole stat line. I always say it and I do it, but this is 40 years of ministry with no problems. This is 40 years of ministry with no money troubles. Every time God said something, the money was there to do it. This stuff you sitting in a paid for. It ain't many places you can go to. Ain't you sitting in paid for right now. That is not normal. It is not regular. The success rate is above what it naturally should be. And the same way that it happens here, it should happen there. The same way that it happens in this house, it should happen in. You should be getting the same thing. But it's a possibility. It's a possibility that you don't get the same thing. Listen to me well, and I hope y'all catch this. Listen to me well. It's a possibility that you don't get the same thing in your house. And I bet if I ask right now, who got the same thing, we won't have a lot of hands. But it's a possibility that you're not getting the same thing in your house because you come to this house and then it doesn't translate to your house. You think it's just for this house. You think the power is, no, it's supposed to go home with you. It's supposed to go to work with you. It's supposed to go to that business with you. The same thing that's happening there, the works that I do, should you do also? That's the same, apostles saying the same thing. The works that I do, the way that I'm working things, let me put it like this. The way that things are working should be working the same way for you. Hold on, listen to me, y'all ain't hear that. The way that things work should be working the same way wherever you are. That same no money trouble? Huh? That same clear direction? that same wisdom, the same, even the miracles that we have happening here on a day-by-day basis. I know sometimes y'all ain't here every day. Y'all don't see some of the miracles that's going on here on a day-by-day basis. The same miracles that's happening all the time should be happening all the time in you, wherever you are. But my perspective has to change. There's millions of people that are in midweek services right now. Millions of people that's going to be in church on Sunday and are going to miss the whole point. Why do you think that the church as a whole is dealing with so much stuff? We should be on the top tier. Hold on. You better say amen. We should be on the top tier in everything. God told me this one time. He said, I set up, there's a scripture. He said, I set up who I want and put down who I want to put down. Right. So whoever I want to exalt, I do that. I got the right to do that when I want to do it. Well, I say, okay, Lord, he started talking to me about that. And I know whenever God starts talking, he'll say something to you. I'll give you a scripture. Stop quoting your revelation on the scripture to the Lord. Can I teach y'all something? The scripture's going to come up. You didn't read it this morning. It's going to come up. Don't say, yeah, Lord, and then start rambling off your revelation. You don't have no revelation when God starts talking to you. He'll tell you a scripture, and then just say, all right, sir. And then just ask a question. I'll just see what he's trying to tell you. So he said, this is random. He said, I put up who I want and sit down who I want to sit down. I can place whoever I want on the top, and I can take them down when I want and put somebody else up there. I said, all right, Lord. I say, cool. So I'm trying, because I'll be approaching the problem. I say, So what you trying to say? Like, what is it that you're trying to deliver to me? Like, what are you trying to say? Lord, why they got so many heathens on top? Why in this world system, come on, listen to me. Why in this world system, there's so many people, none of the people I go to church with up there. Why I got so many heathens up there? And Lord told me, he said, those top spots, and I just said it that way. He said, those top spots. He said, the reason that those heathen are there, those top spots, because they work hard and they follow principles. And they've climbed their way up to that spot. I didn't put them up there. But I can't move them down because I ain't got nobody to put there. Wow. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Well, what just will you do that? Will you do with it? Just what will you do with that wealth? What are the wicked? Are billions. What you going to do with $1 billion right now? Say it. You don't know. That's my spot. What you going to do with the spot? I should be running the country. What would you do if you were running the country? We all be in trouble. If you were running the country. Me too. Are you prepared for that spot? There's an exaltation that God wants to do, but are you prepared for the exaltation? There's a certain way that things got to be pressurized when you're in a plane. They got to pressurize it, because if they don't pressurize it, your head will explode because the pressure's too thin up there for you. There's a certain way you got to be prepared to go that high. You can't just go high when you want to go high. You have to be prepared to go high. You have to be equipped and pressurized to go high. It's a lot of things that we scream and a lot of things that we say and a lot of victory speeches that we have that we have not let be translated to us yet, so we're not prepared for that because of our perspective. Now, every week, Apostle is coming here telling you how to be a complete and total and 100% success in everything that you're doing. Now, he's not teaching us how to be successful, church people. No, he's teaching us how to be successful in everything that we're doing. He's teaching you how to be a success in whatever it is that you got to put your hands to. But is it translating? Or do we leave it here on Sundays? Or do we leave it here on Wednesdays? What is it that you're choosing to be on Tuesday? And on Monday, and on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday. Is it translating on those days also? Because it should be translating to everything that we do. So God said, I want to put some people up there, but I don't have nobody ready. So now, Apostle prepared himself. He let whoever God put in front of him, let it translate to what he was doing. There were some things. There's something about Apostle, and I watched, and I just this message I just preached about Expect the Fresh, it's something because that day I had to preach that Friday morning, and I started crying because I realized that he's teaching us how to expect the fresh. He's teaching us how to walk in the newness of what God has called for us individually. Listen to me. There's a lot of gimmicks and a lot of things we could be doing as a church. There's a lot of meetings we could be having, a lot of convocations and consecrations and segregations and all those different meetings that we could be having. There's a lot of things that we could be doing. But I noticed something about Apostle. Although he was, you know, Brother Hagin was his spiritual father, although he was following another ministry or being connected to another one, he let it translate into what God was calling him to do here in Darrow. Amen. Come on. So although he was following and connected, so he was connected. But when the anointing starts falling and it hit him, it hit him the way it was supposed to hit him and started translating to his life. That's why we're here right now. If we would have done what all the other preachers were doing when they were doing what they were doing, we would not be here at this moment right now. The success rate would not be what it is if we were just doing just verbatim. You jump left, I jump left. There's a principle in jumping. But it's got to translate to how you're supposed to jump.
Right.
It's got to translate to how you are, where you are, what God called you to do, and where he called you to be. Remember when I keep saying calling, I ain't talking about preaching.
Right.
Just whatever God has set you to do, it should translate there. It should translate, but it all depends. I'm going to keep saying it. It all depends on how you looking at it.
Yeah.
How are you facing it? How? What is your perception to what you're doing right now? What did you think you were coming here to do tonight? And do you even realize that you need to take it home with you to translate into what you're doing tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, you're okay with the witnessing part translated. Listen to me. You're okay with that one. So you go tell somebody about Jesus on your job, and you should, amen?
Amen.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You're okay with that one, but it doesn't translate. Okay, fine, that one translated. But it should translate into everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
How you handling people at your job?
Amen.
How you talking to them? Huh? What kind of wisdom are you walking in the thing that you're doing? All of that should translate. All of the supernatural should translate. All of the show me your glory should translate right there where you are in every aspect of your life. Walk worthy in all things.
Thank you, Lord.
It should translate. But if you don't open, if you don't open your mind and open up your understanding to see that it's supposed to affect all that, it's almost like taking a shower but never turning around. It's like taking a shower but never realizing that your armpits need to be washed too. Like you need to let that water hit under there too. You need to let that water hit everything. Because if you don't let the water hit everything, everything ain't going to be. Then you wonder why you smell that. Or you wonder why you got this funk in a certain area of life. You wonder why your job feels so funky. Or your money is funky in your business. It ain't working right. Because somewhere along the line, the gift that God has given to us, you're not letting it translate to everything. Let the gift, I'm glad you said that. Let the gift translate to everything. Put that down. Say it. Let the gift translate to everything. Let the gift translate to everything. Now, you can't pick and choose with God. I know we do this in Scripture, too. We like to pick and choose what we want.
Come on, son.
And we like to pick and choose what part we want to take with us. We got to pick and we try to pick and choose which part we're going to take on and focus on the most. No, you focus on it all. And it goes from gift to gift. It goes from gift to gift. His gifting is to open up your gift.
That's right.
That's what he's called to do.
Amen.
But you know, you got to allow him to open it. You know, it's your will. You'll be willing to open it. It's your will. You know, your will has to allow him to open up your gift. He made a statement, and I said it that Friday, and I said it again. He made a statement at the table one time. He said that God has given him an extraordinary ability to take normal people and make them extraordinary.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, like to take somebody that normally wouldn't be doing nothing and open up, because watch this. This is important that your leader, whose God has set you under, whose God has connected you to, and this is another thing. Fathers are called to do this. Fathers are called to take that child. Not to break the child, but to take that child and find out what that gifting is on the inside of that child. To find out what is that thing that because there's something different with everybody.
That's right.
Huh? There's something different. But find out what is on the inside of that, because that's really God's child. That's really God's creation. Ain't nobody else's creation. That's really God's creation. So now I got to figure out, God, what are you saying about this gift that you've given me? And then you cultivate and you lead and you rebuke and you correct. Anybody else caught a whooping in here? Amen. And you correct that child and you straighten them up until they can walk in the gift that God has put on the inside of them. That gift that you notice from above, like you're supervising. So you saw that gift down in them. So now you work with them to make that gift come to be what it's supposed to be. Rebellion. Being a rebel. Being a rebel will never cause any fruit in your life. Now deal with yourself for a second. When the word comes across the pulpit and the man of God comes to speak and the man of God delivers a word fresh from the Lord, you know you ain't never heard it before because you never heard it before. And when the word comes across, what is your perception? What do you think this is for? How does this translate to your everyday life? Take the whooping. Take the correction. When I was younger, all of us the same way. All of us came up the same way. You always thought you knew what you knew when you thought you knew it, didn't you? You always thought you knew how it went. You ain't want nobody to tell you nothing. Even if you were one of the nicer ones that was obedient, you still thought you knew what you knew. Until that day that you didn't follow instructions and got your head bust. Or until that day you didn't leave that person alone, you got in trouble with them. Because somebody had to tell you, somebody had to correct you, somebody had to get you right. When the correction comes, when the direction comes, when the wisdom comes, when the revelation comes, when the prophecies come, let that translate in you. Just take it in. Can I really tell you how it works? If your perspective and you come, listen to me, if you come looking to receive, if you come just expecting to receive, not expecting to receive, that no, just come expecting to receive. Now, I keep talking about that man with Paul in the Bible, he said the lame man was expecting to receive something. It didn't say he was expecting to receive walking. It didn't say he was expecting to receive healing. It said he was expecting something. All he had was expectation. So because he was expecting something, he received more than what exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. He received more than what he was expecting. But stop, when you come, have a perspective of expecting. And just receive whatever comes in. And what's going to happen is when it comes in, it's going to translate you. Do y'all get that? I don't know if that's too deep for you. It's going to come in. That word is going to come in and it's going to translate you. It's going to translate you from here to there. It's going to translate how you was to how you should be. The word of God will translate you. But I can't come with my religious mindset saying that we about to have church. I can't come here saying, well, you know, that's spiritual, but that's spiritual stuff for apostles. No, I'm serious. People, you might be quiet because that might be you. People have that connotation. They think it's just a spiritual thing for him. No, it's a spiritual thing for you.
That's right.
It's a spiritual thing right where you are. It is extremely relevant to everything that you have to do. But your perspective has to be to come. I'm just gonna come here. I'm gonna receive what he's saying, and when he gives correction, I'm gonna change.
Right.
When he tells me, if you Jump 32 times. Well, I'm going to start 1, 2, and I'm going to get my 32 until it's over. Stop asking all them questions. Receive it and let it translate you. Amen. From gift to gift. All right, so your prayer time. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you spend time in prayer. Your prayer time. Those moments, those praying in the Holy Ghost, I don't know what you thought you were doing, but those moments are priming you and preparing you to receive so that you can be translated. Yeah. Well, listen to me. See, sometimes we come in church cold turkey. Mm-hmm. We come in church and we hadn't prayed none, so now when the word come forth, you think ain't nobody said nothing. Or sometimes we come in cold turkey and we hadn't prayed in the spirit, and so now that thing can't hit us because we're not open. It can't hit us and it doesn't translate us, and so we don't move. Why is, you ever asked the question, why is it that I'm not making more progress? You ever thought of that before? Have you ever asked that question? I know you don't want to say yeah real hard right now because we're thinking, right? We're thinking, right? It's quiet. I love quiet church. So it means you're thinking. I want you to think. I want this to be all on your mind when you go home tonight. Am I really being translated? Is the gift really translating to me, or do I just see apostle over there, but that ain't really got nothing to do with my regular life? Wow. So my prayer time when I'm praying in the spirit should be every day. Should be every day, all throughout the day when you get a chance, right? It's preparing me to receive it and so I can be translated. There's some places in our lives right now that we don't want to be. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Come on, nobody wants, I know it's serious right now. Smile, please. No, there's some places in your life right now that you just don't, I wish I was over there, right? I wish that progress was being made in this part. I wish my business was doing more. Tell the truth. I wish my job wasn't so stressful. Tell the truth. I understand that. So how do we get, but I've been trying hard to get from here to there, but I ain't been making no progress. You have to be where God wants you to be. You got to be translated there.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. Where God wants you to be, you have to be translated there. You can't walk over there. Where God wants you to be, there has to be a higher power, huh? Coming from a higher gift to hit the higher power in you to translate you. But I cannot, the sower, full circle, the sower sowed the word. It's not talking about it fell on stony ground. Or someone fell among thorns. Or someone fell and didn't even go in the ground, so it got scorched by the sun. What kind of ground are you presenting to the gift? When you come, see, now you're praying in tongues is more important now. Now you're praying in tongues is more important now. Now the fact that you need to pray always, pray without ceasing, is more important because it has everything to do with your translation. God connected you here to an anointing like this to translate you further than you would have been translated on your own. It's an accelerant. You speed it up. Everybody say speed it up.
Speed it up.
Come on, say speed it up.
Speed it
Come
up.
On, say it again, speed it up.
Speed it
yeah, see, that's what it's called to do. It's called to encourage and enhance your gift. That's what the gift that he's given us is called to do to the gift that's inside of us. But our perspective, listen, just change. Change your functioning. Change how you're looking at it when you come here. I know you're nice. I know you're nice people. Everybody say amen. I know you're nice people. I know you smile when you see us. And I know you, it's not, I'm not talking about that right now. I know sometimes we can even lift our hands, but we really don't know what's going on. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost so that my inner man, my spirit man can be struck open. That ground can be opened up in me so when I come, I just come expecting to receive. In life we like a lot of good stuff, but sometimes you got to receive a beat down. You don't want that. Let me zip it back up right now. I don't want this correction. Let me zip myself. I don't want to feel that. No, but you need that correction. You come here, come to get whatever he giving. But your perspective got to change. And then understand that that translates to where I am in my life.
That's true. Yes, sir.
All right? That translates to what God has called me to do. Wherever God has set me up, whatever God has me in right now, that should translate to there, and then Jesus is showing up everywhere. Do y'all get it? If you translate, Jesus shows up everywhere. Change ain't change until you change. You're not going to get anything different until you decide to do something different, until you decide to approach different. We are at a place, and I'm going to say this and we're going to go. We are at a place where the anointing and the apostolic flow is very strong. Listen to me. And it's getting stronger and stronger minute by minute. And the direction that's coming out is more concentrated, right to the point. And so our the measure that we meet, our measure has to increase. Our approach to this anointing that God has placed in our lives. See, I know something. A lot of the disciples missed Jesus. You know, most of the disciples were crucified, like crucified on the cross. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about for them, but they missed him. I know people that followed Brother Hagin for years and years and totally missed him because they didn't let it translate, because the approach wasn't proper. God has done a mighty thing for us in this area by dropping a jewel right in the midst of us. Hold on, I didn't hear enough. Listen. I'll say this from a brother. Listen to me well. That our measure has to increase. And our focus has to increase. And our approach to the gift has to increase. Drop your rocks, drop your feelings, drop your ways. They don't work. Begin to pray in the Spirit about that. On a day-to-day basis, begin to pray in the Spirit about that. Stop praying in the Spirit about them things that you want. You've been praying about it for the past 30 years and it ain't got here. Because you're praying the wrong way. Pray about that. And when our measure increases, then when he comes back to this pulpit and starts delivering a word, we are prepared to receive. And we are, when God translated Enoch, it wasn't no struggle. It was boom. And it was a translation from earth to heaven right there. Same thing's supposed to happen to us. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.